Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Core Health Collective show. Today I've got an amazing guest who's got some cold and hot tips for us about his amazing brand called Unbounded. Without further ado, please welcome to the show Nick Minot, who is the founder of Unbounded. Hey Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben. Grateful to be here.
Yeah, I'm super happy that you're here too. The audience is going to in the next, 20 or 30 minutes is going to fully understand why I think you're an amazing entrepreneur doing really cool work with an even cooler brand. Now that I've just said that a couple of times, I'm sure people listening are wondering, what is Unbounded? Because it's not a name that a lot of people may recognize. And I'd love to hear the background behind Unbounded, how you opened it, but maybe first you can talk about what it is.
Sure. Yeah. Unbounded is, it's an experienced lifestyle brand. We really are passionate about and offer education and experiences all around primal therapy wellness, nervous system regulation. And we do that through the tools at hand like breath work, cold plunges, saunas, mindfulness, rewilding in nature. And we offer experiences to the corporate market, be it corporate retreats, corporate workshops. We do large scale events for community all around the country. And then we also do certifications in the cold. And I'm trying to think of all the things we do. We do a lot. We've done many things. But yeah, essentially a whole bunch of experiences that allow people to kind of like tap into their more powerful selves using their nervous system.
Okay, so as the audience now knows that you and I are both very into hot and cold therapy. I've taken it one way. You've taken it, a similar path, but certainly you've got your own path you've gone down. And I'm wondering, how did you decide one day that this is a business that you wanted to be a part of? Because you're certainly giving to the communities that you serve a gift that is not easily accessible in Canada anyway. So I'm wondering, how did you get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, by kind of happy or unhappy stance, we were born out of the pandemic. So we were really just trying to find a lifestyle that spoke to us during that. And I say us, there were three other founders at the time, all close friends. It's now just my partner, Lisa, and I that are the remaining founders on the business side. But during the pandemic, during lockdowns, when you couldn't get to a gym, when you couldn't really leave your home, when you couldn't really go out in parks, and all these times where, really what we know and science tells us are like extremely necessary and healthy activities to be doing for our health, mental, physical, spiritual, all of these were not very accessible to us at the time. And so the lifestyle we were leading at the time was staying up north, getting to woods, spending time cutting holes in the ice and jumping in, making big fires, sitting in saunas. And through all this, we start to realize that it was allowing ourselves to really connect further with ourselves and with the people around us. And it was incredibly empowering. So living that, it just started to bring more people into our fold. More friends started experiencing it. Our family started experiencing it. And then people started watching on social and were like, what is this? Like, I'd want to try that. And, seeing someone jump into an ice hole and they're like, oh my God, I could never do that. And then you start sharing the education with them around the benefits of it. And they're like, okay, maybe I'll try it sometime. So we started creating these offerings, these cold classes on the shores of Toronto, these retreats up north, on Oak Lake. And so it really was just engineering what we had developed as a lifestyle for ourselves into these business offerings. And it wasn't something where we thought this is the business. It was just kind of like, well, we're already doing this, why don't we share this with people? And then the outpouring of interest was so much that it was kind of like, how do we not pursue this and see where this goes? And it's kind of been a journey of discovery really each time along the way, where each of our things, be it an event, be it a retreat, be it a class, has been something we're doing for ourselves. We see the effect and benefit to it, and then we implement it and the public is able to access it. And so it's honestly been kind of like a a journey of discovery more than a planned march towards anything.
I love that. So pre-COVID, were you doing sauna and cold plunge regularly, or was it something that you first discovered over COVID?
I mean, sauna almost never, for sure. That's something that I think I might have done a few times. And certainly never with like the right intention in mind. Cold plunging, I had done quite a bit, but never again with the same intention. I had done like a polar bear dip at Christmas or New Year's, or gone to the cottage with a bunch of friends and been like, let's jump in. And it was more of like the adrenaline and the thrill, more so than like the well-being and the intention behind it. So pre-COVID, I'd probably have plunged. I could count on my hands and toes the amount of times, and always kind of around a polar bear-esque dip as opposed to like a
Yeah.
proper, let's sit in this and embrace the discomfort. And then sauna, almost never. And that really was a big influence from my partner Lisa, who's she's Finnish, and so she's grown up her whole life with saunas in her family and in their culture. And that's certainly one of the things where I was a product of my own discovery of these practices, because I started doing them when I didn't really know the background of it. I didn't know the science to it, and so I just knew it was making me feel good. I just knew that it was making me have better communication with people, have a better mindset day to day, feel better physically. Like I could feel and see a marked improvement in my life. But I didn't at that time know, oh, well, this is what's happening with your cold shock proteins or your heat shock proteins, and this is what's happening with your norepinephrine and therefore co-releasing dopamine. Like all the sciencey bits of it were, let me look into this more as we started creating a business out of it. So it was great to come to it naturally without being like, this is what it does, and kind of then discover really that underlayer of, okay, well, this is actually how you can live a longer, healthier, happier life. And here's the education behind it. So that's something that, initially it was all lifestyle, and then has shifted heavily into education. And now it's the pairing of the education and the lifestyle. So it's like providing the tools and the principle that those tools are reinforcing. Yeah, that's kind of
Yeah.
the evolution of the path for me.
Yeah, so what so okay, so this is really good, and my path was similar. I think I've talked about it before on the show, and I don't know if I mentioned it to you when we talked last, that my start into first sauna, then sauna and cold was trying to solve my sleep issues. And I went down, I started with science and then fell in love with how it made me feel.
So we're the
Which was
end.
so we came at it from an opposite direction. I was trying to solve a problem and then realized how great it made me feel, and then wanted to, use it to level up so many other things like relationships, or, giving myself the, the ability to just sit in it and think, and the gift of quiet. That's the biggest thing. Like sometimes when I sit in the sauna, I'll take my phone and I'll listen to music. And that's feel good. And sometimes I'll just take nothing and just sit in silence. Wow, is it ever hard to sit in silence for 20 minutes? It's gotten easier for me in the last couple of years with sauna, but there has been times where it's a struggle. All of a sudden I'm in the sauna with like the jumpy knee, or the bouncing knee, and I catch myself. I don't know how you find the process of it, if it's been a journey on just, getting better at it for yourself, or like, I don't know. I'd love your thoughts, 'cause it's still a process for me.
Sure. Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on it. So I resonate a lot with what you're saying. Like I like to think that I've said for a number of years now, like there's nothing as loud as silence.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it really is, because you're just there with yourself. And I mean, as you well know, like 15 minutes or 20 minutes in a sauna, 15 or 20 minutes isn't a long time. In a sauna, it's a long time, and
Oh, yeah.
you feel every second of that. And especially if you don't have a distraction, right? Like if you have to be present to your thoughts, you realize how much is actually operating in the background and how consistently there's something that you're listening to, that your voice is saying, or something that you realize you are focused on that you didn't think you were, and it's all this bandwidth draw that's happening. And so it is a great process to work through, because it forces you to get present to those voices and present to those thoughts, and then kind of practice equanimity, right? Which is like you be the pat the almost like the observer on the park bench, watching things go by, like your thoughts, like these narratives, these different things, and you acknowledge it, and then you let it go, and then you acknowledge it, and you let it go, and you kind of try to remove yourself and be this objective observer. And so the sauna is a great, that's how I like to sauna, is be this objective observer and try and, they're not going to stop, right? Like you get moments of it, like when you're in a cold plunge and your frontal lobe can be depressed up to 80%, so you have that big moment of presence. Everything's very still and clear, and then you get out and things creep back in, such is life. But it's not about kind of removing all of that. It's not about removing the jumpy knee. It's about like acknowledging that, and then removing yourself from that, creating a layer of distance where it's like, I'm not my thoughts. I'm not necessarily my body. I'm not all these. I am separate of all of that. I kind of like really lean into that and enjoy that process. Music, at this point for me, I use music with cold plunging. I used to do timing of how long a dip would be, or go for a certain amount of time. And now it's just, I like to put on a song that I'm feeling at the time, play the song, really get into it while I'm in the water. And then when I'm out, I get out basically when the song ends. And that's kind of like, and then I know how long I've been in there roughly. And I'll pick a song that's, moderate and I'm not going to pick like a 9 minute, Stairway to Heaven type of vibe, but I'll be like, I'll pick something somewhere to 3 to 5 minutes. And that way it just allows me to sink into the feeling. So it's sort of opposite for me, where the cold, I'll use the music now, and the sauna, I'll kind of just be a psychopath and be in silence.
I'm still kind of going back and forth on the sauna, depending on how things are going. If it was a stressful day or just a very tiring day, I think stressful is the wrong word, but if there's just a lot in my schedule for the day and I'm going to the sauna, I'll intentionally go no music because I know the best thing for me is to sit in silence. And as you said, we are not our thoughts, and I'm a strong believer that the first thought that comes into our mind, we can't control, but the second thought is 100% in our control. So when these thoughts come in or the jumpy knee starts happening, that's the first thought. The second thought is me saying, what am I going to do about it? Or how am I going to let it feel or interrupt this moment for me, which I really like. I also do the same thing with that you do with the cold plunge. I will listen to a song, and I'm more in like the 3.5 minutes songs, and I've got a whole list kind of in my head of what those songs are, and I'll just not put a timer on, and I'll just listen to the song. I find the timer is it's two things. It's a bit distracting because I would want to see it, the timer. I would want to, so I would focus on the timer and not the experience in the cold. And when it would go off, if I was still feeling good in the cold, it would kind of force me to get out because it was an annoying sound. But if the song ends and I'm feeling good and I want to stay in longer, I can just stay in. And or it goes to the next song, right? Which is fine too. I'm with you on that 100%. I'm really, as we were leading up to this call, I've been dying to ask you this question. And maybe it's not one question, I want to dig into it. So what I found is in my like circle of friends, like as we go out in the circle and go all the way out in the community, because we've got our little pop-up in Kingston that you know about and our listeners probably know about too. We have the kind of have this saying that like our people are 100% our people and everybody else is 100% not. Meaning like, when I first started getting into this and I was loving it, I would invite people and like some few people would come. And of the people that would come, some would come like, I'm all in, and some would come and say, I'm nervous. And we would go through that experience together. And on the other end of it, they would be really happy that they joined. But then there's like this, the majority of people that you think are just like, because they run or they're outgoing or they exercise or whatever they do, they hike, they wear Patagonia. You think, okay, they're going to be in for sure. and like you can't get them there. And whether they'll tell you exactly why or not, it may not be the case. But I'm just wondering what your experience is with your kind of community, as your small community of friends going all the way out to your community of customers. What are you seeing as far as like people that are all in or not all in?
Yeah, I mean that is a great question, and there's certainly two there's a spectrum, but there's like two people that you come across. One that, see you get into a cold tub and are like, absolutely not, I would never do that, not in a million years, couldn't pay me to do that. And then talking about people that have like never experienced it. Obviously, once someone's done it, there's a bit of a different perspective, but and then the other person is kind of like, okay, why are you doing that? And there's like a curiosity there and kind of like, I could try that. And what I've found is like the approach to both for us is the same. And it's what we always lead with, which is education. So to the person that's like, I could do that, or I'd be open to trying that sometime, or I haven't, but like, you can tell when someone's like, I'm curious, I'm interested. And then you can tell when someone's like, absolutely not, I have no interest. Both groups of people are served by the same approach, which is, okay, well, let me give you the quick rationale for why I do this, or for how I implement this into my life, or why this might be good for you to do. And you can take it or leave it, but I'm going to at least educate you on, and without making it a lecture or anything, just being like, well, this is what's happening, and you speak to what somebody might want out of their life, because a lot of people don't understand what's actually happening, and the fact that there are very real studies that say, a certain amount of saunas and time in a sauna every week will extend your life by X percent, and increasing that even more. There's a study out of Finland that I think it's 3 20-minute sessions a week. And I'll find the study and send it to you for you to put in the show notes or something later. But it's 3 saunas a week can increase of 20 minutes can increase your longevity, like your lifespan, by somewhere from like 10 to 15%. And then doing that 7 days a week increases it to like 30%. And this isn't just like rough out there on the edge stuff. This is like real studies with thousands of people that are happening.
And these studies are coming out of Finland that I've seen anyways, very old studies, very respected studies. And the ones I've seen have not talked as much about the, I haven't actually heard the one about the life extension. So thanks for sharing that to me. I've just put it in my mental, repertoire to share with people. I've heard it kind of referenced on the other side, which is, like the two number one causes of death. Are heart issues and Alzheimer's dementia, and so I've read the studies about how much they talk about the reduction, and I've seen anywhere from like 36 to 54% reduction depending on the stimulus that you do each week.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you start painting a picture for people of what does your life look like when you're older? What do you want 70-year-old you to be feeling, thinking? How mobile do you want to be? How lucid do you want to be? How healthy would you like to be? Well, there's a very clear path here to help give you the best shot at that. How do you want to age? These are tools that are available that are extremely valuable for that aging process. And they're accessible, very, very accessible to the average person. Certainly here in Canada, there's cold water everywhere, at least 6 to 7 months of the year. I would say sometimes even 8. There's
Oh,
plenty of cold water.
absolutely. Eight. The St. Lawrence River, which and I'm on, like it's cold in June and it's cold in like late September. So I would say almost like 9 or 10 months you can access cold water.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's more places popping up than ever before. Gyms are putting it in. So, the access to these things, saunas, cold plunges, heat therapy, cold therapy is greater than ever. And they really do have, it's just like adding another tool in your belt with, how many calories are you eating a day, how much movement you get, how much sleep you get. It's just another tool to help you with making sure that you live a longer, healthier, happier life. And so when you start providing people with the education behind this, instead of someone just seeing you jump into a bucket of ice or, sit in a sauna, come streaming out of sweating and be like, that doesn't look enjoyable. It's like, okay, well, maybe, it doesn't look enjoyable when you go to the gym or when you have to do a walk or, but what about the downstream? And so at least if you leave that person with the education and some understanding of why, when you can get the person to wrap their head around the why, they become certainly the person that's curious is going to be way more open to doing it. The person that was, a hell no is going to be a lot closer to, well, I understand why you're doing it, or that's interesting. And that's like a step, that in itself is a step. And then you bring them closer to it and closer to it. And, like there's the curve of adaptation. You've got your innovators, your early majority, your late majority, you got to, and then the laggards. And the reality is, like, you've got to play to that early majority. You have people that are looking and curious and always trying to, hopefully be on the latest and improving themselves. You'll get the ones that are like, I'll never do that, when that first mass of people converts over, which I think we're kind of, we're almost at, really. Like, you can't open Instagram at this time without watching somebody going into a sauna, doing a cold plunge. Certainly, like, every health and wellness article out there is talking about how valuable cold therapy, heat therapy is. So, like, I guess where yoga was maybe 20 or 30 years ago and then had its hockey stick moment, we're right there with these same things. And I don't think there will be too many people in a long period of time that won't be open to it, knowing just how much benefit it can create for their life in the future.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm seeing a lot of the same trends, but I'm always conscious of, like, am I in my own bubble, right? And sauna cold plunge is like the hottest thing in my bubble. But so where do you see the future?
If I could just add on to that, because this is an area I'm extremely passionate about. I do think that there is a timeline on how cool it is right now, with how shareable and how social media has really picked up the cold plunge. That's going to die off, without question. The fad of, look at me, I'm in an ice hole, and it's been great for getting the awareness out there, but the thing is, these are just tools. This isn't wellness. This isn't longevity. They're tools for it. Just like you don't see people being like, here I am walking my 30 minutes today, or like, here I am eating my restricted calories, here I'm going to bed early. I think there's going to be a timeline on people being like, here I am in the ice pole. It's like, yeah, we know, but the thing that's important here is that people understand that these are tools, and it's not about a checklist. It's about, like, reinforcing this principle of, well, what is it to be well? What does wellness look like? Is it, exercising your boundaries, establishing your values, having real self-compassion, practicing self-love through all of these tools, as opposed to being like, well, I did my cold plunge, I did my walk. It's like, that's not that, the relationship with wellness has changed a lot. It's been very commodified in the last little while. And so, that's again why we, I don't know, really push the lifestyle and the education side of it, rather than being like, we're, a tool-based company. We're a lifestyle-based company that provides a bunch of tools to help you with this lifestyle that, is a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, no, I love that you said that, because my own personal journey at the beginning, I didn't know it until I look back. But I look back and I think it was a bit of a checkbox. Like, did my sauna, did my cold plunge? It was more of the sauna. And then once I started to incorporate cold plunge, and it just, like, leveled the whole experience up even more for me, I started realizing, like, okay, there's opportunities inside of these tools that I'm not accessing. And it's not like a checkbox going from one to the other. Because I started out in the sauna by, like, downloading, something off Netflix onto my phone, because I have poor Wi-Fi in my sauna because it's outside. and like seeing the sauna and just saying, well, like if I'm gonna like watch something, I'll just do it like net time. I'll do them both at the same time. And so it was like a checkbox. But then, you know, over time, probably over the 6 months or so, once I started incorporating cold, I realized there's some real intangible opportunities here that can come into just like silence, give me a chance to be myself, just to be like in the moment and be very intentional about what am I doing. Opportunities to invite people and experience it with them, which is much nicer in the sauna. The time flies in the sauna when you're with people having conversation, and it moves dreadfully slow when you're by yourself and you're getting hot and bothered. So I found out like that there it's not just a checkbox, it's not just tools, it is a lifestyle. And if you really explore, you know, how you can enjoy it differently, alone, with people, continually change the stimulus of what order you do them in or for how long, and continue to experiment and enjoy it. That's my progression through it. And that's what I want to see people do as well. I find that people that are new to it's a bit of that checkbox. Like I did it, I took the picture, I put it on Facebook. But I want to keep working with those people so that way they can see that it can be so much more to them. And like one of the things I've realized that like there's so much stimulus in society right now. And you know, I love it all too. We're on a computer right now. I've got an iPad to my left. We're on these things all the time. iPhones, if you're a listener, not watching the video. And except for when I'm sleeping, being in the sauna and the cold plunge is the only time that I feel like I get a complete opposite effect of all the stimulus that's around me all my other waking hours. And I really enjoy that. And it might just be 20 minutes in the evening, or it might be 75 minutes on the weekend that I'll, you know, do like three cycles or something. But whenever it happens, it's just like that opposite effect. And I think that we've forgotten as a society what that feeling is.
I agree. I love
Right.
that
And
you. Yeah.
yeah,
I
unless we're sleeping, but we can't be present in
Yeah.
that while we're asleep.
Yeah. You watch what happens when someone doesn't have their phone around them for an hour, 2 hours. You know, there's an anxiety there immediately. You know, we do that at some of our retreats as we'll just ask people to, you know, leave their phones in the chalets and then come and take part in the activities. And you can see people do that kind of like, where's my, oh, right, it's in my chalet. Like we're very programmed these days to be plugged in. And I think, I mean, at this point, time is the greatest, like it's always been the greatest asset that we have, really. I mean, our health and time. But that is also the asset that everyone's after. Our phones, the world, everyone wants your attention, your time and your attention, right? And you're absolutely right. We have forgotten what it's like to just be a human. Just here I am with myself, sitting here, not, you know, scrolling, not thinking about the next thing, not, you know, just here and present. And it is like that is, you know, it's something that is really rare these days to have a period of time in your day where you're fully present. You know, I'm glad that mindfulness is on the rise. There's meditation apps and things, practices coming out like crazy. And cold and hot are the same things. It's just opportunities to really just be with yourself and like, who are you? I think a lot of people have forgotten kind of like who they are beneath all of the things that we attach ourselves to, our homes, our cars, our jobs, our goals, all these things. Like, you know, who is that underneath all of it? And in order to do that, you kind of have to put yourself in this bit of discomfort, find that edge, and then sit there and sit in that moment of like, all right, I'm just going to be with myself. And that, to be honest, that's almost like the most uncomfortable part of a lot of it for people is just sitting there with yourself and, you know, finding yourself again.
Yeah, I had a friend that was coming and doing sauna regularly with me. He also went down to our pop-up Stoked downtown Kingston, and he ended up buying his own sauna, put together the other kind of DIY cold plunge at his house. And it was like, okay, kind of lost him as a customer. Still comes over to the house once in a while, but not as much. And I'm so happy for him that he has leveled up his life with this. But you know, one of the things that I think I mentioned to him, was that there's three discomforts that you feel when you have it at home to experience by yourself. And the first is it gets really hot in the sauna and you'll be uncomfortable. The second is it gets really cold or instantly cold in the cold plunge, and you're going to feel really uncomfortable. And the third is being away from any digital stimulus with your own thoughts. And it's a real discomfort. And I struggle with it too sometimes, where you get the busy brain. And like sometimes I'm in the sauna and like I want to reach for the phone, which is why I try not to bring it in as much as possible. But so it's kind of like a skill that people have lost. And I think people that are like you and I and exploring this, and as you said, this hockey stick moment's coming, and there's gonna be more and more people that are exploring and getting curious about this type of practice. There'll be more people that are able to kind of connect with just like their own thoughts without stimulus. And I'm happy for everybody. I want it to go this way, right? Like these pop-ups or these mini spas or big spas, I think that they're creating, you know, an opportunity to live somewhat like the Finnish people. So your partner Lisa, she knows this already because she grew up this way. But like Finland was just rated the number one city, like the happiest city in the world. And I'm gonna misspeak the stats probably, maybe, but it's something like the third year in a row. And
Think so, yeah.
yeah, so the happiest city. You look at the other cities in that, like 2 through 10, they're all beautiful, warm cities, most of them below the equator. And like, so Finland not only stands out because it's number one, it stands out because it literally has nothing in common with the other nine, except for the fact that they've figured out how to have this wellness practice in a community setting multiple times a week. That's like the only thing that you could hang your hat on that they've really figured out. Now they have great healthcare and they have great social services and for everybody that lives in the country, and they take care of their people really well, well educated. So there's a lot of other intangibles, but from a wellness perspective, this is the one thing that they hang their hat on. They do heat, they do cold, and they do it with loved ones and friends.
Yeah, and there are more saunas than there are people in Finland. That's another stat.
That's amazing. I heard that there's more than there are cars too, which for North America, that's crazy.
And you know, I hope that we take note of that as a society. I certainly think bathing culture here in North America is, you know, we are young. Canada's a young country, right? Like we're 160 years old now, 100. We're young compared to all these nations.
I think just shy of 160.
So we're, you know, we're getting there. But these practices have been, I mean, in Asian culture, this has been around for thousands of years. In Finnish culture, you know, as far back as that goes. So these are practices that I hope that, you know, we entrench further. And I know that it's starting. Again, I just hope it doesn't get, and that's, again, part of why we reinforce not just going into a cold plunge place or a sauna place, but also like, you know, finding the durability and the capability within yourself to walk by a lake and be like, you know what? I can jump in there. I'm fully capable as a human being to get in there, get through the discomfort of it, get out, feel alive, feel capable, and get on with my day. 'Cause you get to this place, you know, the magic is, as we've talked about on this call so far, is like that bit of discomfort, whether it be like the shaky knee and like sitting there with your thoughts, or whether that be like the actual real cold or the heat. But there's a certain comfort that comes with repetition. And when you step into a sauna so many times, or when you step into a cold plunge so many times, and you know you can do it, it can dull the, I find personally, it can dull the blade a little bit, because there's no longer this like, what if I can't? Or I don't know what this is going to be like. It's like, I'm going to get through this, and it's either going to be a good day or a bad day, but it's no problem. And you lose a little bit of that. You know, I really think it's like a primal sense of that, like danger, you know, that is at the height of this, we are, you know, activating our fight or flight. And cognitively, some of that fight or flight, I think, is lost as you get more comfortable with always doing it in a tub or somewhere where it's like very familiar and comfortable. And so part of our big mission is with doing it in nature and reconnecting people with nature, where, you know, I'm sure for so many people, there's this operating in the background, don't fall into cold water, you know, don't fall through the ice. You know, from childhood, we've been told like, be careful going outside, it's, you'll catch a cold. It's like, no, that's not how it works. But it's programmed into us, right? This fear. And so when you can reprogram that fear and you can kind of get rid of that little voice that's operating in the background around it, and you can feel very capable as a human, which, all these things these days are taking away our ability to feel like, durable. We've got phones, cars, elevators, AI, all this stuff is leading us down this path of like, you can just sit at home and be comfortable and do nothing and don't have to be in any place of inconvenience or stress. It's like, well, we do need that. We do need to explore. We do need to go outside. We do need to go up to the edge of a lake and be like, it's kind of windy today. Like those are really valuable. And we then the upside on the other end of that is so much greater when we accomplish something that we weren't sure we were going to be able to accomplish, or that we felt was going to be extremely difficult, and then we get through it. There's just such a greater payoff cognitively, mentally for us. So, I hope that people also, we have such an incredible country here to make use of, and people all around the world really have a lot of ability to do that as well. So I hope that people also, it's not just bathhouses and places like that, but also connecting in nature.
Yeah, thanks for that. You gave me a little bit of a gift there when you were talking about, always doing it in a similar fashion. Once you've done it hundreds of times, it dulls the blade a little bit. As you were saying that, I was just thinking about, okay, like, how can I change the stimulus? Like, I need to do this for me. And I'm like, okay, maybe I need to go down to the lake at sunrise, this weekend, because, I've been going in a tub, like a man-made tub for a long time. Or I need to, if I'm gonna be in the man-made tub, maybe I'll just go, it has a chiller on it, so it's cold anyways, but maybe I need to add $40 of ice and just get in it and like change the stimulus and create that primal moment. So thanks for that. I'm sure that in the very near future, in the next like week, I will change the stimulus to create that primal moment again. So thanks.
You run for a certain amount of time, you're able to run longer and you need to run longer. You lift a weight, eventually that weight becomes easy and then you need to lift heavier weight. The act of what we're doing is hormesis, right? Like hormetic stress is positive stress, and the same thing, you adapt to the cold, you adapt to the heat, you adapt to positive stress, and then you need to increase that hormetic stress in order to get the same results as what you were getting before. And so, whether it is adding ice for that visual of like, oh, this is extra cold and that challenges you a little bit more and you have to overcome that, or whether that's like, okay, I'm going to do a head dunk to start my dip and then I'm going to sit through it, whether that's run down to the lake and then you come up and do your tub, whatever it's going to be that's going to make you feel like, shoot, I don't know. That's the gold. That's the juice right there, is you want to be able to have that moment of like, I don't know, or like, this is a little uncomfortable, and then get through it. Certainly, we know at this point, physiologically, for the most part, you're always going to reap the benefits, right? But there's just such, as you said earlier, there's such a huge mental upside to this that you can tap into that's available. And rather just be like, cool, did my 3 minutes. Done for the day. It's like, well, how do you really, it's 3 minutes. Like, how do you make that a really valuable 3 minutes for you on the full spectrum, physical, mental, spiritual? How do you make the most of this opportunity? And find the thing that you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Do it,
Yeah, for me still, sometimes when I'm alone, doing the cold, it's the head dunk. Yeah, at different times.
Yeah, so I can't remember if we talked about this on one of our other calls, but over the course of a plunge, your body's going to drop roughly like 11% core temperature. If you are to do a head dunk at the beginning of that dip, it's going to drop around like 33 to 36%. So you're 3xing the effects of that cold plunge by cooling off your head, essentially, like at the beginning, right? Because we've got our glabrous skin, palms of our hands, soles of our feet, upper half of our face. So yeah, if you have your feet in, your hands in, and your face, you're just skyrocketing how quickly your core temp is going to drop, and it makes it extra challenging.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of our conversation, and right there, I got my nugget. I was before this call. I told one of my team members that I'm gonna get a nugget that I'm on this call. I just know it. And she said, Well, what do you think it's going to be? And I said, I have no idea. That's why I'm excited. So that's it. I actually did not know that specifically. So I am going to do a cold plunge in the next probably day or two, as usual. And I will start with the head dunk and make sure my hands are in because they're not always in. So I will do that, and I will message you and tell you how it felt.
I'm looking forward to it. Even just, right here, there's I'm gonna butcher it, but there's a value, there's like a reptilian part of our brain that reacts to submerging the upper half of our face right here underwater. So even if it isn't a full head dunk, you can, that's a great thing to work up to, but as a layup or a start to that is just putting your face in the water and submerging this part of your skin will have quite an effect on
Oh,
you.
that's okay. That's great to know. I'll probably still do the full head dunk.
There you go.
I've done it at the beginning a few times. I do it more near the end, but I will change that based because now I'm aware I can no longer ignore this fact. So I will do it at the beginning. But when I have done it at the beginning, I like to go in to the plunge actually kind of like on all fours at first, and then go down and then roll over onto my back and get my head out. And I find that. And I do that because it's the hardest way for me to do it. But it commits me to that head plunge right away versus sitting. Because if I sit and then I have to make another decision to dunk my head. But when I go in forwards, it's one decision.
I'll give you another one that Lisa loves doing. It's take 6 breaths to fully submerge. So it's like you get in you t to your waist, you take a breath, and then you get into your sternum, you take a breath, get into your shoulders, you take a breath, get into your neck, you take a breath, get right to here, you take a breath, and then you fully submerge. And so you're kind of sitting at each of those layers for, 5 to 10 seconds. So you take like almost like a full minute to elongate that process of getting cold, of like submerging yourself, right?
Okay,
That's its own, that's another one you can do at another time.
I will try that. That sounds like I will do it only because I've done so many plunges. I know that I can do that mentally. I know I can do it, but I also know from my experience that that will be very difficult. And like it's counter to like the people that will come to our pop-up and do cold for the first time. We intentionally give them two decisions and we tell them there's two decisions. Decision one is step into the tub. You're going to be roughly up to your knees. It's cold. You feel the cold. That's decision one. Decision two is all the way down to your butt. Don't pause as you go down because then you force yourself into a third or fourth decision. And every decision is equally hard. So let's limit the amount of decisions. And you're like, let's try the opposite of that. Let's maximize the amount of decisions. Yeah, I like that. I
Just
will try it though. And
overcome the objectives.
yeah, and kudos to Lisa. That's a good challenge. I will try that for sure. I'll do that one with a friend. For sure. Well, thank you for joining us. I knew that this call would just be, or this episode would just be, fun for me. And I think there's a lot of people that are curious about hot and cold. I hope that they really enjoy this episode. I hope they find it, and I hope they listen to it, and I hope they share it with their friends. Yeah, I think it's really interesting what you're doing with Unbounded. I love the brand. I love the mission. I believe what you're doing, and I support you 1,000%.
That means a lot, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. Have a great day.
I appreciate you having me on, Ben. Thanks so much.
Thank you for not only joining us today on the Core Health Collective show, but also thank you for being an entrepreneur looking to make the world a better place.